Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome back to Reflections. I was last week we repeated the program, and basically the program was on my father's life and how it influenced me, and a biography that I put together during the COVID pandemic and the lockdown. And I covered the first three chapters and the last chapter in terms of his death and how it took place in the tennis court. And I want to sort of follow up with other chapters. I don't know how, as I said, there were 12 chapters, or there are 12 chapters. One of the things I've decided is, as I'm reading them through, is I'd like to publish and put the book together on this. The title would be Gracias, Papi, Thank You, Father. And a couple of days ago, I was thinking the cover page would have a picture, that black and white picture that my brother Fernando took of him, which is by far the best picture that I have seen of him, and it's just it's fantastic. So that's I've got the cover page, I've got the title, and one of the things I've been thinking. Do I update it? This was, you know, all this thing was written in May of 2020, and there's a lot of things that are, you know, call for updating when kind of, you know, 5 years have gone by. But I think I'm going to publish it as what I did during that period. With the conversations I had at that moment and the information I had at that moment, and then put some footnotes either at the end of each chapter or at the end, just updating comments and information that has taken place, you know, subsequent to that particular event that was, you know, time sensitive. So anyway, there was two aspects in terms of one of the chapters that I covered, and it was my father's incredible detail in terms of a budget and of the, you know, what was spent and all, and it goes through in different aspects of his life and of the things I put together. Basically, as you recall, these were letters to his mother and to his father, and most of the information was from those letters. His mother was absent quite often because of sickness, or he was studying, and these letters were put forth his thoughts and all, and I was able to read them and talk with all my cousins all. But there was one that he was writing on in terms of his budget for RPI, and it's asking that he, you know, to please have his father increase it, and he's his budget, and it was, you know, he's asking for $60 a month, and he has it all detailed and explaining the books, you know, it can be zero, it can be 8 or 10. So he's put down $5 a month for books, he says comidas, food, $32, laundry, including, you know, ironing of shirts, $8, books, $5. Movies, he loved movies. And he was explaining, you know, that they're up to 50 cents, and he liked to go weekly, so it's $2 on movies, and miscellaneous, haircuts, fixing shoes, et cetera, $3. And then we explained that, you know, now he has a couple of clubs and fraternities and you know, when social matters, so he's asking for $10. So it's a total of $60 per month, all itemized and all explained, you know. And he, you know, and this happens a number of times, you know, throughout the RPI and all, as he's careful. The other thing I've kind of was laughing at is a story. I discussed a number of things in the last program, but it was a great story, and it has to do a little bit with his budgeting, you know. And it was that he says, and it was a joke that over and over again he would say, tell, and he had this, he loved to tell these certain jokes and repeat them. And he'd just laugh and laugh as he was repeating them. It was so much fun to listen to him. We knew the joke, but you know, it was. But one of them was that he used to go to this, under the trees was a place, a restaurant, and he used to go with my mother. They go to a movie, and then they go to under the trees, and she would ask for French fries and water. That's not. And, you know, he's like, what? She's very frugal, you know, and he would ask for his hamburger and French fries and a milkshake and all. And then he says they got married, and after the first, you know, after the honeymoon, they went to the movie, and they went to Under the Trees, and he says to the waitress, you know, she'll have French fries and water. And she says, no. I'd like a hamburger, like, you know, and French fries and a milkshake. My father says, what happened here? And he says, okay, I'll have French fries and water for me. So this was a, you know, he kept on, but as part of his budgeting and all, but he jokes about him, he kids himself and doesn't take himself that seriously. But that was, you know, in chapter two, as a father and a person, and I forgot to sort of emphasize his thing of budgeting and this story that goes along with his budgeting thing. Chapter number four is his education. And it goes in, you know, it's a long chapter. And one of the things that surprised me when I started reading these letters is how close he came to going to Notre Dame, something I never heard of. And also how close or how much he wanted to go to MIT and his kind of doubting as to whether he was going to get accepted. And he also was struggling whether to do some agriculture, which would have been Louisiana State, and all. So here it was, and RPI didn't come at all. And, you know, where he eventually went, it didn't come into the picture at all in the letters. He's talking about Notre Dame because he went to a prep school between Central High School, which is where he studied. And at that time, it was, you know, it was a public school, but very, very, it was the best school in Puerto Rico, in Santurce. And most of the teachers, the courses were in Spanish, and the teachers were from the mainland. And it was, you know, from there, most of the students, and they were from the, you know, the better families in Puerto Rico. So it wasn't public education as it should be, but he, what I was going to say that in terms of this, where he wanted to study, his parents decided that he should go to a prep school between Central High, where he graduated in 3 years. He always had incredible grades. He graduated in 3 years, and they thought, you know, because of his age and in order for English and improve his chances for the better schools, that he should go to the school. And it was St. John's in Danvers, Massachusetts. And that was not a good experience based on his letters. It was too easy. I got through that, you know, still being lazy. And he just wasn't happy with the overall atmosphere and everything. But it being a Catholic school, they were kind of pushing for Notre Dame, and he was interested in MIT, and they were making life a little bit difficult for him in terms of that. And that was basically between MIT and Notre Dame. and a little bit, you know, he kept on writing letters asking his father for advice, and his father said, you know, this is your decision, but he kept on insisting, you know, please tell me what I should do, and father wouldn't come forward with it. So it was kind of surprising all of a sudden to have a letter in you know 3 months later, and I think it was in August. Basically he's telling his mother his trip to RPI, Rensselaer in Troy, just outside Albany, New York, and how beautiful the campus is. Of course, it's up way up in the hill, and you have tons of stairs, and he's just remarking how incredible the stairs are. He, even though he was in pretty good shape, how difficult it was, and he was tired reaching at the top. So the change from Notre Dame versus MIT to RPI and how that came in the picture just is kind of one of these lagoons, one of these areas, lagunas, not, we don't say in English lagoon, but in Spanish, we're not laguna. One of these areas of doubt, and which, you know, I would have asked, which I'd love to ask him, you know, why he ended up in RPI. He was a huge RPI fan. Very, very loyal alumni, very proud of what he achieved. Had a tough time initially the first year, but he got incredible grades. And one of his greatest achievements for him was it's a recognition called that he received, and very few received. It's been not only for fantastic grades, but also for character and things that you've done through either in school or through life. And it was interesting. He also, with while he was in RPI, he also kind of suffered with the decision of whether to go back to Puerto Rico and work with his father in agriculture. And we talked about that last program, where his father was saying, you know, the farming is not what you should do. It's a tough life, and it's not really what I'm involved with. I'm more in administration. And so the other thing also was to go into business administration, and we could have done an RPI, maybe extending a little bit the 4 years, but he stuck with chemical engineering, and it made sense because the family business, he wanted to work with his uncle Luis, and he was an MIT graduate, and the business that the family had required, you know, chemical engineers. It was Ochoa Fertilizer and the Puerto Rico Phosphate. That's when he graduated. That's where he ended up working. There was a story that Roberto, these are the kinds of conversations I had, you know, during the lockdown. I thought it was, you know, one of the first things he was assigned to, but Roberto says, no, that was during the summers of RPI. But regardless, he was, one assignment he was given for about 4 or 6 weeks was to go to Mona Island and to do an analysis of the guano with the bats produce, as to whether it was commercially feasible in terms of the quantity available and the logistics to get the this guano out of Mona, you know, for the use as fertilizers by the company. And he decided that there was plenty of guano, and the quality was excellent, but the logistics of mining it and getting it back was too costly. The other day I was mentioning to the person who heads the Bosque de San Patricio, Mia, and she had spent quite a bit of time in Mona, and I told her the story, And she says, that would have been a disaster ecologically. I said, I'm glad my father decided not to do that. Then from an environmental point of view, if you're right, that would have been a disaster. And then once he graduates from RPI, he also is interested in going to MIT for a postgraduate. And his father was encouraging it. It's clearly, you know, one of the things that kind of stands out, just engraved in my memory, is his statement that la educación es algo que nadie te puede quitar. And so that education is something that no one can take away from you. And the emphasis on good education and getting the best education possible to get the best grades you can was ingrained in him, and he ingrained that in us. And he ended up not going to MIT. I think he never, this is a conversation never had nor a comment ever made, but it's clear from his letters and, you know, multiple letters that his uncle Luis, who was the business head of all the González Cuillar, you know, his father and uncles, was from MIT, and then from his mother's side, with him, Henry Preston Giusti, also went to MIT. So they had this the desire to go in, yet a little bit of fear of not being able to get in, and so that was an item that kind of I think was a little bit frustration for him. I sensed that from the letters and the things that had happened, and his father, we met one time. That he was for his master's, he wasn't accepted because of delay of, and he submitted the application too late, and his father says, this should be a lesson that you can't fall asleep. So anyway, I think it's my message to my children and my grandchildren, how important it is to get the best possible education you can, work as hard as you can for the good grades, and that is really important. I run out of time in terms of this second segment, and when we come back, I'm going to then discuss how that educational philosophy that his father, my grandfather, and he, you know, exuded and obviously gave such importance to, then goes to my educational experience and the trauma I had going through my educational experience, which is, you know, chapter 5 of my father's biography and how he influenced me. So we'll be back right after the pause. This is Jorge González, Reflections.